I'm Tom Joyner, and I'm heard each Sunday evening on Wilmington's Big Talker. The coronavirus dominates the news and has had a devastating effect on the American economy. Many businesses have been forced to close. People willing to work have been sent home. Life, as we know it, has been idled. In the midst of all this misery, the Democrat Party added insult to injury by politicizing this virus. From the very outset, Democrats have attacked President Trump as if this virus was somehow his fault, or that he did not act fast enough against it. Both are lies, monstrous lies, designed to take advantage of a crisis for political gain. In January, when the president saw that the Chinese government had withheld information about the virus, he moved quickly to stop travel from China into America to halt the spread of the virus. That move undoubtedly saved many American lives. But when the president took that quick action to protect our people, the Democrats accused him of being a racist. Joe Biden called Trump a xenophobe. Biden has said that if he had been president, he would not have put in a travel ban from China. How irresponsible is that? Biden also, even today, calls for open borders where any and all, infected or not, can enter our country at will. In decades past, when a crisis arose in this country, Americans united to fight it. That spirit has died away under the weight of politics. There is no unity today in the fight against coronavirus. The president called for a stimulus bill to ease the pain for those who saw their incomes vanish overnight. Congress took up the discussion on such a bill. It meandered along in the Senate while panicked Americans stood by, helpless. The same Democrats who were accusing Trump of not acting quick enough voted as one to reject the stimulus package. As the country's misery index rose, Nancy Pelosi used this crisis as a means to flood the recovery package with pet projects that she had not been able to get through Congress on their own. This stimulus spending should have only concerned itself with the effects of the coronavirus, nothing more. Democrats saw this as an incredible opportunity to push through special interest requests. They loaded the bill with a multitude of such requests. To their credit, the Republicans in the Senate rejected this Democrat bill to hold the country hostage to their demands. We are talking about loading a tremendous amount of debt on our children and grandchildren. $2 trillion or more. And then, on top of what is necessary, Democrats tried to sneak in $35 million for the Kennedy Center. Green New Deal nonsense. Increased power for unions. Windmills. And more. Exactly which of these Democrat demands had anything to do with the urgent need for coronavirus relief? That's a rhetorical question, of course, because obviously none of those add-ons benefited the country suffering from this virus. Moreover, Pelosi's power grab delayed the necessary relief for days. For those people living from paycheck to paycheck, just one day with no pay is a burden. We must never forget the moment when Democrats thought they saw a great opportunity to hold our people hostage to benefit their special interest donors. Pelosi and Schumer tried to portray their hostage-taking as their objection to items in the bill that would benefit corporations. But if that was the case, their arguments should have focused on negotiations to take out those benefits. Instead, Pelosi and Schumer conspired to pack more giveaways into the bill. While Senate Republicans managed to take out Pelosi's garbage grabs, many of them, they did allow her to insert a $25 billion giveaway to House members and their staffs. That money would have been better spent on the needs of those under fire in this sagging economy. Frankly, Congress should have been able to sit down together and write up a stimulus bill that centered only on aid needed for this coronavirus. This should never have become a partisan issue that allowed Democrats to vote for power over the people. For more than 3 years, Democrats kept the president busy trying to defend himself against an impeachment drive based on lies about Russian collusion with the Trump campaign. When the Mueller report showed that charge to be a blatant lie, Democrats brought out a charge of obstruction of justice. When that buzzard refused to fly, they moved on to other lies, culminating in a charge that Trump was guilty of a quid pro quo in his Ukraine dealings. While there was no proof or basis to substantiate that charge, even today against Trump, the same Democrats ignored concrete proof of a quid pro quo between Joe Biden as vice president and Ukraine. Such is the dishonesty of the Democrat Party. Any person, even a president, only has so much time to deal with the matters before them. Having pinned this president down for more than 3 years with bogus impeachment charges, the Democrats then attacked him for not paying enough attention to the coronavirus. Rank hypocrisy. I've been on this earth for more than 77 years and spent more than 57 of those years in radio and television. And I can honestly say that I have never experienced a president who has expended the energy shown by Donald Trump in combating this virus. No president has been more open and forthcoming on an issue than Trump on this virus. The American people have begun now to see the hypocrisy of the Democrats, and it does not bode well for them in the November election. The Democrat Party has desperately searched its ranks for a presidential candidate to oppose Donald Trump in this November's election. In 2016, they offered up what appeared to be the bottom of their barrel in Hillary Clinton. But they have now reached even further into their grab bag of nonsensical candidates by putting forth Joe Biden. This will be the third try by Biden to grasp the golden ring. But time has not been kind to Biden, and rather than grasp the ring, he is in danger of falling off of his hobby horse. But this really isn't about Joe Biden. What we have to worry about is who Biden chooses for vice president, his heir apparent for the presidency itself. While a blind person may not be able to see Joe Biden's stumbling appearances, they can hear the inconsistencies. Joe Biden may well be a jolly fellow to have a beer with, but as president, he would be a drunken mess. The odds of Joe Biden making it through 4 years of the presidency are less than a dwarf dunking a basketball. He is at times incoherent, at other times totally befuddled. His handlers try to keep him off television or radio, and his gaffes before a live audience would be laughable if not so serious. This election in November is not about political parties for me. Neither is it a contest to see which candidate is the most likable. I'm a registered Democrat, or rather independent, who was a Democrat, then a Republican, and who sees this upcoming election in stark terms. We are at a crossroads and in danger of a major accident. Who is the Democrat that you would pick for president? The party is picking Joe Biden. They rejected all of the other candidates, but now they want one of them as vice president in line to take over when Biden inevitably falters. We need a business person in the White House to see us through this debt crisis caused by the China virus. It is not racist to call the virus what it is, a virus that originated in Wuhan, China, and due to the misinformation put out by the Chinese government, was allowed to spread across the world. It is as much a China virus as the German measles, the Spanish flu, or the New York Times. Each is named for where they come from. To the argument that a few misguided people have confronted Chinese Americans over the virus, consider that the liberal PC crowd seems not to have the same concern for Americans wearing a Make America Great Again cap. Those conservatives have been attacked since Trump's inauguration. Liberals remain silent about such attacks on conservative Americans, but became enraged when China is linked to their very own virus. We already have a successful businessman in the White House. His name is Donald Trump. Is his personality perfect? Of course not. But neither is Joe Biden's. You do not switch horses in the middle of a raging stream. The stakes are just too high. For years, I have raged against free-spending Democrats. They have never seen a rainy day that they were prepared for. Now, with our national debt up around our ears, we have encountered that rainy day, disguised as a coronavirus. Our needless free spending to buy votes has come home to roost. We have no choice but to dive into uncharted waters of debt. With the help of Almighty God, we will emerge from this latest crisis, hopefully with a new resolve to pay down our debt and prepare for the next rainy day. We should reevaluate how we spend the taxpayers' money. Is it necessary to continue fully funding foreign nations with money we need ourselves? Can we not elect a Congress that will spend our tax money as if it was their own money? Can we not see the need for term limits for Congress, just as we have for the president? The questions are many. The answers are few. How does that bode well for our future? I thank you for listening today. I hope that you will tune in each Sunday evening as I give my commentary for that week on Wilmington's Big Talker. These are times for all of us to speak out, to be heard, to make changes, to demand changes in Congress. This business of Democrats and Republicans throwing rocks from one side of the chamber to the other has to stop. We have to confront the dangers before us as a unified people. It makes no sense to point fingers and blame somebody else for what we all have brought upon ourselves. I thank you again for listening today. I hope you'll listen to my commentaries each Sunday here on The Big Talker. We can get through this as unified Americans, or we can lose our country by being not unified. The answer is left on all of us. Thanks for listening.